Our foremothers and forefathers brought us the world, and our fathers and mothers brought us into the world. We honor them for their roles in creating us and the world we live in. Of course, parents' work does not end with our conception or birth. Today, I will focus on what a father can give his children besides his DNA. This discussion is not limited to biological fathers. Good fathering can come from all kinds of people. A nurturing and guiding father can help a child find strength and direction and to create meaning from their lives. To receive good fathering is a blessing. So what is good fathering? In my lifelong quest for answers to that question, I came across Neil Chettick's book, Father Loss, about how men come to terms with the deaths of their dads. In doing research for the book, which included interviews with hundreds of men, Chettick learned that key among the factors shaping a son's reaction to his father's death was the quality of the relationship when the father was alive, of course. These sons' stories reveal much about what sons need from fathers. Chettick concluded that for a son to deal with the loss of his dad, the father-son relationship needs to have included affection, discipline, reconciliation, and farewells. Now, I heard all four of these traits in Scott Russell Sanders' relationship with his son, Jesse. Sanders struggled at times to be a good father, but his overwhelming love for Jesse kept him on track. At first, he tried to rationalize his love by saying that it was because his infant son needed so much from him. And soon he gave in to his exuberant, irrational love, which carried on even through the times when Jesse, as a teen, was temporarily unable to reflect that love back. So behind good fathering is love for the child, but it plays out in different ways. So I want you to listen to Robert Hayden's poem, Those Winter Sundays. Sundays, too, my father got up early and put his clothes on in the blue-black cold. Then with cracked hands that ached from labor in the weekday weather, made banked fires blaze. No one ever thanked him. I'd wake and hear the cold splintering, breaking. When the rooms were warm, he'd call, and slowly I would rise and dress, fearing the chronic angers of that house, speaking indifferently to him who had driven out the cold and polished my good shoes as well. What did I know? What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices? Men often show their love through actions more than words. Robert's father took care of him by working to provide for the family, by taking a bit of the edge off the cold, and by polishing his shoes. He wanted the boy to feel a little pride in himself. Robert, when he was a child, did not thank his father for his sacrifices, but with this poem he tells the world about them. Father's Day is a time for thanking our dads, however belatedly. Thanking our fathers is not always an easy or straightforward process. Robert's poem is not just a thank you. It also hints at why the thank you was belated. The child, Robert, was ignorant of his father's loneliness and afraid to speak with his father because of chronic angers in the house. Unfortunately, there are often barriers between children and their fathers. Many people have ambivalent feelings about their fathers. I feared my alcoholic, abusive father, and we never had a close relationship. As a young adult, when I became a stepfather, my first rule for parenting was, don't do what my father did. But a negative example is not much to go on. I wasn't a very good father at first, but I was determined to give my children loving parenting. I looked to other parents for guidance and tried new techniques. In order to be a better father to my children, I had to learn from other fathers what fathers are supposed to do. I had to allow myself to be fathered, to experience trusting and being trusted. I didn't have a handle on fathering during my first marriage, but I finally came into my own as a single parent to my youngest child. When she went off to college, I first read Scott Russell Sanders' essay, To Eva on Your Marriage, in the Indiana University Parents Magazine. Sanders' words to his daughter were wonderful, so loving, and they seemed to me to be just what my daughter would want to hear from her father. So I gave her this essay, and in so doing, deputized Sanders to provide her some indirect fathering. The thing our parents taught us lives on inside us. If some of what we learn from them doesn't work in today's world, we need to revisit those lessons and change how we react to them. Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh said, our mothers and fathers continue on in us. Our liberation is their liberation. Whatever we do for our transformation is also for their transformation and for our children and their children. Here is William Stafford's poem with Kit, age 7, at the beach. We would climb the highest dune, and from there to gaze and come down. The ocean was performing. We contributed our climb. Waves leapfrogged and came straight out of the storm. What should our gaze mean? Kit waited for me to decide. Standing on such a hill, what would you tell your child? That was an absolute vista. Those waves raced far and cold. How far could you swim, Daddy, in such a storm? As far as was needed, I said, and as I talked, I swam. Kit's father has brought his daughter to view a great storm, and she wants to know how far he will go for her. She is asking for an emotional truth. How far does my father's heart reach out into the world? Her question pulls him into the wave-torn sea. At that moment, he knows the answer in his heart, as far as was needed. Letting a child know that he is willing to do what is necessary for a child is the foundational blessing a father can give to a son or daughter. A parent teaches a child that there are two sides to the love equation, that the parent gives the child some things, protection, for example, and that the child has something to give also, something worth loving. Listen for the poet Rumi's gratitude in Has Anyone Seen the Boy? Has anyone seen the boy who used to come here? Round-faced troublemaker, quick to find a joke, slow to be serious, red shirt, perfect coordination, sly, strong-muscled, with things always in his pocket, reed flute, worn pick, polished and ready for his talent. You know that one. Have you heard stories about him? Pharaoh and the whole Egyptian world collapsed for such a Joseph. I'd gladly spend years getting word of him, even third and fourth hand. Out of parents' love for their children comes the desire to protect them, and part of protecting them is teaching them discipline. Parents make a pact that they will be there not only to protect, but also to teach, to give direction, and set limits. Parents set limits that a child can push against and learn the value of authority. Jungian psychologist Robert Johnson says that boys, and I include girls, on the way to adulthood have to learn how to master the violent side of him or herself and integrate that power for aggression into her or his conscious personality. That potentially destructive side must be struggled with, but cannot be repressed. So it is a matter of the ego becoming strong enough so that it cannot be overcome by rage, but the power in it can be used for conscious purposes, that is, to overcome obstacles in the path and achieve their goals. When children are young, their fathers tower over them. They often seem gigantic, because it is easy for discipline from a father to create fear in a child. Fathers must be careful to use our power judiciously. Then when children struggle with their own power, they can see that putting limits on its use can be beneficial. Sanders illustrates the value of letting a child who is struggling with authority know that the parent's love will not go away when boundaries are crossed, that there is value in doing the hard work of reconciling difficulties in relationships. Parents' love for their children teaches them that they have value, that what happens to them matters to us and to others. Modeling discipline and reconciliation helps children know and control their own strengths so that they may use them in the service of their values as they try to act on them in the world. When they have left home and parents are no longer able to protect them anymore, their spirits will be tested, sometimes to the limits of their strength. Walter MacDonald's poem, "What If I Didn't Die Outside Saigon," gives us an example of surrogate fathering in a time of need. "So what do you want?" he growled inside the chopper, strapping me roughly to the stretcher as if I were already dead. "Jesus," I swore, delirious with pain, touching the hot mush of my legs. "To see my wife, to go home, play with my kids, help them grow up, you know." His camouflaged face was granite, a colonel or sergeant who'd seen it all. He wore a parka in the rain, a stubby, stale cigar bit tight between his teeth, a nicked machete like a scythe strapped to his back. He raised a fist and held the chopper. He wore a gold wristwatch with a bold sweep-second hand. The pilot glanced back, stared, and looked away. "Bored?" the old man asked. "Then what?" his cigar bobbing. I swallowed morphine and choked. "More time to think, plant trees, teach my kids to fish and catch a ball." "Yeah," he said, sucking the cigar, thinner than he seemed at first. Through a torrent of rain, I saw the jungle closing over me like night. "And travel," I said, desperate, "to see the world. That's it. Safe trips with loved ones. Long years to do whatever. Make something of my life. Make love, not war." I couldn't believe it. Wisecracking cliches about to die. He didn't smile, but nodded. "So? What then?" "What then? Listen, that's enough. Isn't that enough?" His cigar puffed into flame. He sucked and blew four perfect rings which floated through the door and suddenly dissolved. Without a word, he leaned and touched my bloody stumps, unbuckled the stretcher straps, and tore the killed in action tag from my chest. And I sat up in bed today, stiff-legged, out of breath, an old man with a room of pictures of children who've moved away, and a woman a little like my wife, but twice her age, still sleeping in my bed. The almost mortally wounded man in this story is called upon to be a warrior, not to fight in a death-producing war anymore, but to pursue his own life. The grizzled colonel or sergeant guided him to focus not on his own pain, but on his goals of seeing his wife and raising his kids. He helped him to know that he had what it takes to survive and to be a contributor to the world. This sense that we are important and needed for something beyond ourselves may be the most important lesson that our fathers can teach. Listen to William Stafford's poem, A Story That Could Be True. If you were exchanged in the cradle and your real mother died without ever telling the story, then no one knows your name. And somewhere in the world, your father is lost and needs you, but you are far away. He can never find how true you are, how ready. When the great wind comes and the robberies of the rain, you stand in the corner shivering. The people who go by, you wonder at their calm. They miss the whisper that runs any day in your mind. Who are you really, wanderer? And the answer you have to give, no matter how dark and cold the world around you is. Maybe I'm a king. Maybe I'm a king. We can't deny our potential. Each of us are called upon to claim the responsibility once reserved for kings and queens, to act in the service of the larger world. It is within our authority to use our skill, creativity, and dedication to make the systems and institutions of our world be more wholesome for life on this planet. We have within ourselves a miraculous power to become more mindful and compassionate human beings. It is important we liberate ourselves from personal limitations we attribute to the parenting we received, and continue the quest toward transforming our world into a more wholesome place. When we become better parents, we not only improve our own and our children's chances for peace and success in life, but we transform the legacy of our parents for future generations. The practice of fathering can be done well. Furthermore, it can be taught and passed on from generation to generation. When it is done well, the very act of fathering has value for sustaining our society, one in which both father and child can experience and contribute to the goodness of human life. So might this be. Amen.